Yes.
We are live. And I'm hearing a slight little echo. Let me see what's going on here. Hello. Okay, the echo's gone. Awesome. We are live, and that was AC/DC. It's a long way to top, to the top, if you want to rock and roll. And we are live here March 4th, Tuesday night, 7 o'clock. We got the Jackal's Den coming up. Should be great. Great show last night. Great broadcast last night with Tom filling in for Andy there. Did a great job getting into, you know, the psychology of everything, because that's important. Because what these what the enemy that we face likes to do is play a psychological game against you every single day through their mass media. And this is what's really going on with the Ukraine situation, in my opinion. I'm going to get into that for the first part of this hour show, and then get into infiltration and those that will try to undermine the movements that we are involved in, those that who try to, you know, hijack the message, send in tension and controversy. Kyle posted a great link to a piece put out by Snowden about how the cyber warfare division works, how they use trolls and paid operatives. And we know this from the SPLC's own documents and how they pay people to disrupt, create tension, break up friendships, divide networks, create clashes. And once you understand that, you understand that the only way that we can survive is if we stick together as a European community, as white people in this country, as those that seek justice against the enemy, and stand united in common cause against the very vampires and bloodsuckers that we face. And that brings me to the White Man March. 10 days, just a little over 10 days now, 10 days and 49 minutes and some seconds until the White Man March. And this must be a success, because this really is where we can make our big statement against the system, where we can stand up and say, you know, look, we are no longer a nation. A nation is defined as a common ethnicity with traditional background and interest that brings it together, that glues it together. We are no longer a nation here in the United States of America. We are a Jewish-controlled corporate monopoly system of contract law, okay, being used to destroy our people, our race, our heritage, for the benefit of the tribe. And people must understand this, for the benefit of the tribe. And the benefit of the tribe is what I see happening in the Ukraine. Now, I've had mixed emotional opinions on this subject from the beginning, because I have some Ukraine heritage on my father's side. And I will tell you that I wanted to believe, I very strongly wanted to believe, that this was a real uprising, that this was a real movement to take back the Ukraine from corrupt forces. And I think it started out that way. And Kyle sent me a message earlier, and I totally agree with him. This is more complicated than just saying it's a kike Jew operation, or whatever some people are saying. It's more complicated than that, because in order to understand what's taking place here, you must understand the how the enemy, how the tribe loves to play both sides of every issue. And many times they control both sides, if not almost all of the time. And I think we see this taking place in the Ukraine. And I think it started out, look, Ukrainians, and I know many, they are the most anti-elite Jew people out there, some of the most in the world. They can't stand Jewish corruption and Jewish power, and they will never forget, to quote a Jewish phrase, they will never forget what happened to them in the harvest of despair, where they were starved out. But at the same time, when you put them in a situation now of survival, having to now try to figure out if they want to go with the United States of America or Vladimir Putin, who may or may not be controlled by the same very interest, we have to say that we need to really delve deeper into the subject, and I plan on doing that tonight. Let's start out with Ukraine, and then I will get into maybe the last 15, 20 minutes of the hour tonight. I will get into, infiltration and how I believe operatives have infiltrated this movement, and I think they might have infiltrated me personally. I'll get into that in the last part of the show, and I will continue that from probably on my Thursday show. But now let's get into this. I want to start off here with the Ukraine, and I want to start off with this article here. Rule by oligarchs. Kiev appoints billionaires to govern the East. Now, this is very important to understand because today Barack Obama has announced that he would send $1 billion, and all of the money that the government has, as you well know, in Washington, D.C., is taxpayer money. So Bolshevik Barry, Bolshevik Obongo, our Kenyan communist in chief, has said that he will send $1 billion to Ukraine to prop up this government there. Now, this so-called government there. Now, let me just break this down before I get into who the oligarchs are, okay? Who this new so-called, quote-unquote, neo-Nazi nationalist group, as everybody's describing them to be, put in charge of some governorships within the country, which I find very interesting. You see, what's going on there now, it seems like the legitimate nationalist socialist movement there has been hijacked and infiltrated a while back by our good friends, the Eskimos, okay? By our good friends, the Jews. And they have actually taken over the national socialist movement there, still allowing them to wear, Beat the Yids t-shirts. If you look at some of the shirts they're wearing, they actually say Beat the Yids, which is hilarious. I have no problem with that shirt at all. But in December, we had John McShame.
I'm going to go over there and meet with these neo-Nazis, Tucker, these so-called neo-Nazis.
Now listen carefully. This is very important to understand. The self-proclaimed government in Kiev has appointed two of Ukraine's richest men to govern large industrial regions in the defiant East. One of the reasons of the Maidan protests was the influence the rich have on politics in the country. The appointments of new governors, okay, of Donetsk and Dnipropetrovsk regions are among 18 made on Sunday by Kiev, which is struggling to consolidate power after the coup which ousted President Yanukovych last month. The newly appointed governor is Igor Kolomoisky. He is a Jew. He is Ukraine's third wealthiest man with an estimated fortune of $2.4 billion. He co-owns the informal commercial group Privat, which includes Ukraine's largest bank, private bank, which Kolomoisky heads, as well as assets in the oil and food industries, agricultural and transport. Now we go to another oligarch that's just now been appointed by this so-called neo-Nazi party, nationalist party. The new governor of the Donetsk region is Sergei Taruta, who is estimated to be worth around $2 billion, putting him among the top 10 wealthiest people in Ukraine. He heads ISD, one of the biggest mining and smelting companies in the world, and also owns Donetsk-based Metallurg football club. So he's involved in sports and mining, and he's one of the top wealthiest people in the Ukraine. Now, why is this important to understand? Because this new government, this new so-called government, who is being described by the West, and let's remember the Hegelian dialectic, folks, okay? The Hegelian dialectic. Remember, going back to Bolshevik Barry's comment, before the election, after the election, I'll have more flexibility, okay? This is important to understand because you have to look at the whole field. You have to look at the whole picture. You can't just concentrate on Bolshevik Barry and Chicago and Putin and nationalism, and you can't just concentrate on nationalist party in Ukraine and Jewish oligarchs. You have to look at how all these different sides are being played and being played for who. Well, we can go back, okay, to John McShane's visit in December, right before the shit started to hit the fan, okay? Now, as the Euromaidan protest in the Ukraine capital of Kiev culminated this week, this goes back to February 24th, okay? Displays of open fascism and neo-Nazi extremism began to become too glaring to ignore, since demonstrators filled the downtown square to battle Ukrainian riot police and demand the ouster of the corruption-stained pro-Russian President Viktor Yanukovych. It has been filled with far-right street-fighting men pledging to defend their country's ethnic purity. Okay, white supremacist banners, okay, buzzword, and Confederate flags, okay, Confederate flags inside Kiev's occupied city hall, and demonstrators have hoisted Nazi SS and white power symbols over the toppled memorial to V.I. Lenin. I have no problem with that. That is great, okay? But let's delve a little deeper, okay? Let's delve a little deeper. Now, one of the big three political parties behind the protests is the ultranationalist Svoboda movement, okay? With Ole Tyanobok, okay, who has called for the liberation of his country from the Muscovite Jewish mafia, okay? I agree with this guy 100%. But who did he just meet with? He just met with John McCain in December, okay? U.S. Senator John McCain meets Ukrainian opposition leaders Arseniy Yatsenyuk and Ole Tyanobok in Kiev, Ukraine, Saturday, December 14th, 2014. Now, why is this important? Here's why. I'm going to break down, because there's several different layers of this Jewish onion that have to be broken off and peeled away for you to understand what's really going on. And it needs to be understood. Number one, the Council on Foreign Relations, which is now led by Leslie Gelb, a Jew, okay, Gelb. He's the leader of the Council on Foreign Relations. If you go back to foreign affairs articles that have been written for the last couple of years, they have declared, okay, that they want to control that region because of oil interest and other strategic interests that are very important to now the Jewish-controlled West, okay? And they put out a platform on how to break down, on how to bring this about. Well, one of the best ways to bring this about would be to create a struggle that would ultimately divide up Ukraine into several different enclaves and regions. If you don't believe me, this is exactly what they did in Yugoslavia, okay? They created a tension, which this also connects tonight in the last part of the show, the tension that is attempting to break up this movement and to destroy this march and other things I'll get into later, and I will also break that down on Thursday's show if I can't cover it tonight. But the Jews always play the wedge, right? As Tom said last night in his broadcast, which was so brilliant. So, but there's also something more at stake here in a psychological game taking place. So we see that if we back this tension and they create a revolution in the Ukraine, which I believe many of the people on the ground forces, if not all, behind and support the nationalist movement there, were legitimate people. There's no doubt in my mind about that. And I stand in solidarity with those that are pulling down those communist statues and pissing all over Lenin and Stalin. I stand in support with you, okay, 100%. They need to be broken down. All the communist statues should be destroyed and obliterated, for they represent Jewish Bolshevism, and I do not have a problem with that. But it seems here, ever since we've had Michael Savage trying to become an ultra-nationalist on American right-wing neocon radio, I see a lot of Jews backtracking. Go to YouTube and watch the video, the Israel's Biggest Critics, North American Jews, okay? There is a backtracking by Jews in this country to protect their ass because they see that there's a domino effect taking place. There is an uprising. So rather than go against the uprising, what do they always like to do? How about this? How about we guarantee you seats in a new Ukrainian parliament if you guarantee us resource territories in parts of the country? And that is the only way you'll be able to stand up to the Russian Empire. That's most likely the promise that Mr. John McShame made these people. And them having nothing to lose, they took the deal with the devil. They took the deal with the tribe. All right? So this is more complicated. This has got so many layers to it. Now, on a psychological level, what are they reporting over here in this country? They are reporting over here that this new government that has taken over and thrown out the old leadership is a national socialist neo-Nazi thug government, okay? But here's the funny part. But that we are supporting it, and we just gave it $1 billion. Obongo today, folks, just announced that he would be sending $1 billion to the regime. Now, what did Vladimir Putin say yesterday? Vladimir Putin said yesterday and the day before, he's repeating this meme, this mantra, the mantra of Vlad. He says that he needs to protect his borders from a Nazi regime that has illegally taken over the country. Okay? And that he is actually backed up by international law. All right? Now, what does this do on two levels? It further internationally delegitimizes our claim anywhere in the world, and it continues the breakdown. Or as Chuck Hagel said, the Secretary of Defense for Obongo, he said that their job is to manage our decline. That is a direct quote from Hagel. He said that our job is to manage our decline. Okay? But what does this also do outside of the America Jewish-controlled media? It gives the moral high ground to Putin. Now, what if, on one level, and I'm going to break it down three different ways, I'm not saying I'm right, but we must consider every single angle to this conflict. What if, on one level, this is designed, and Obongo was designed from the beginning, to destroy this country by design, okay, in a pact with secret Jewish communists, okay, to pass the baton, as Khrushchev said, back to Russia after we crumble from within, okay? And at the same time, we now have the Russian leader, Vladimir Putin, standing up firm against a quote-unquote Nazi regime in the Ukraine, right? And then we are seen by the rest of the international community as being the financiers of that regime. Think about that from a Jewish psychological argument basis for just a second. Because it's very important to understand the different layers and levels of propaganda that are being thrown at you. Now, number two, there could be a second scenario, okay? Either way, it gives the Russian Empire the ability to gobble up, ultimately, Ukraine, because they do not have any chance in hell of defeating Russia, and there's no way in hell that we're going to go in there and defend them. We are shit-stirring again, just like we did in Libya, just like we did in Syria. And then this goes back to that fat Yinta, Madeleine Albright, okay? That fat Yinta, Madeleine Albright, okay? Who said not too long ago, I think it was a couple days ago, that Vlad has made a mistake and that if he wants to try to occupy diverse regions with high Muslim populations and different ethnicities, he will have a hard time governing, and there might be, you know, she was hinting at the fact that there could be a new Chechnya situation, which did bog the Russian Empire down, okay? So she's basically saying, this fat Jewess is basically saying, you know, look what we did to Yugoslavia. We can do the same thing there. Not only that, but we can flood in Islamic terrorists to threaten the Russian Empire if we so want to. So you have that angle at play, all right? You have to look at and break down. Also, you have this at play, okay? As Kyle sent me a message, and I agree with him, the Jewish alley-oop, since we have a basketball player in the White House, Bolshevik Barry, the Jewish alley-oop, right? America sets up Putin with the pass, and he slams the basket. Boom, Ukraine is gone once again, and now they are under the auspices of the regime once again, and there is no freedom for the Ukrainian people. Okay? But this is how sophisticated the what is going on here that's taking place. I like that. The Jewish alley-oop. and thank Kyle for that one. So now, also, what does this do? Also, we have to now prepare ourselves that there could be massive Jewish infiltration in all of the nationalist groups taking place in England and this country. I mean, let's go back to the EDL model. There was no doubt under the EDL model there was massive Jewish infiltration and a massive Jewish attempt to take over that whole deal by stirring up hatreds against English, against Muslim, as they should be. The Muslims shouldn't be there. But you see, our good friend Barbara Spector and these other Jews brought the Muslims into these countries. Okay? All right? So we see this has already happened before. We see it here in this country. I'm going to make an analogy. I'm going to make an analogy. We have, as Nick calls, and the Jackal's Den will be up later tonight, bagel Nazis in this country. Bagel Nazis, right? These people that shit stir, and they run around with swastikas, and they run around with their uniforms on, and most of them, going back to the Skokie thing, are financed by our Jewish enemy. Well, it appears, folks, it appears that at some point, this National Socialist Movement, it appears at some point that whatever they eventually used to have in Ukraine, and they did have a legitimate movement that was based upon what happened with Bandera, who was shipped to Siberia, who rebelled. There was a real hatred, but they always hijack it. They infiltrate. And now we see this new regime that has overthrown the old regime is now putting in place two Jewish oligarchs, multi-billionaires, one that controlled the private banking system of Ukraine, and the other one, you ought to see these guys. This one guy that controlled the banks, the Privat Bank, he looks just like Steven Spielberg, for Christ's sake. He looks just like fucking Steven Spielberg, for Christ's sake. And the other one looks like goddamn, if someone could post these guys in the chat, it is unbelievable, man. You'll die laughing. And to think they would have swastikas on their arm, it reminds me of Frank Collin, Frank Cohen. They've done it here. Everything they did here as a beta test, they've exported through their think tanks, be it the Jewish Gelb, Leslie Gelb, run Council on Foreign Relations, or any of their other institutes, the Cato Institute, the Heritage Institute, the Heritage Foundation. Now, here's what's interesting from a forget geopolitics, let's talk about geopolitics, okay? From a geopolitical basis, you have the GOP, okay? you have the GOP attacking Obama for being weak, but then supporting Obama and trying to encourage him to basically start World War III with Russia. Listen to Hutch Mossaball and Sean Hannity and the great one Mark Levin as they attack Obama and they attack Putin. That's the neocon third position party. That's what I'm going to call it tonight. The Jewocon third position party, okay? Yeah. They're attacking Obama and attacking Putin, and the third position is, oy vey! Bagalian dialectic, bitches. We win every time. We win every fucking time. Now, on the other hand, what is the international media reporting? They're reporting that Putin, the brave leader, the macho man, on a horse with a gun and sunglasses, is fighting against the evil Nazis that have taken over in Ukraine with American money. Okay? All right. Now, I do find it interesting. I do find it interesting Oh, God, not the baby shit again. All right. I do find it interesting that that what we see now taking place. So here's what I want to say to Obongo. You know, save the billion dollars you're going to send to the Ukraine, okay? Save the billion dollars you're going to send to the Ukraine. Give us the $1 billion for the white man march. I mean, if Jews want to support real nationalists, if the Jews want to support real people that want to shut down our borders and restore white communities, give us the $1 billion. Save the money. Do the Ukrainian people a favor and let Vlad take it back over. He'll be a better leader than the Steven Spielberg-looking ass clown and the other ass clown that are taking over the country now. So just give us the $1 billion, and we could do pass a lot of banners. Yes. You get money. Exactly, Kyle. What's the message being sent? Neo-Nazis, if you take over a government, you get money. Exactly. We need more banners. We need more money. Obongo, if you're going to support the Ukraine, you can support this movement here. Support, I'm calling for the administration to support the white man march. I mean, that's what we need to say. Think about this for a second, folks. If the Jews all of a sudden want to support National Socialist and nationalism because they're losing power, then you'd be better off giving us the money. We're more legit. We don't have Steven Spielberg running our Privat Bank, this Igor guy. The guy looks like he just got off a bagel run in freaking Tel Aviv, all right? I mean, it's a joke. So, you know, so there you go. So give us, hell, give us just a couple mil. Just a couple mil. We could do it, man. This is the plan. So basically what I want to break down tonight, this is how desperate our Oy Vey, and let me say this. As having a Ukrainian side to my family, I will tell you this. From what I've seen with these Jewish clowns that are taking over the country there, the smart Ukrainians at this point, who would you rather have wrecking your country at this point? You really do have a choice here. You can have the Jewish oligarchs being sent back in, a lot of them that were connected to the ones that were kicked out by Putin in Russia. Okay, I'll give him credit for that. But we've seen this. Anytime NATO and the tribe gets involved in funding one side in a conflict, they never fund that side to victory. They only fund one side, but then they secretly fund the other side, and they bring about civil war and chaos. Well, what would civil war and chaos actually be? Who would that be good for in Ukraine? It would be good for these oligarchs who they're now installing as governors. Okay? One controls the gold. The other controls the bank. So what they're installing now, and what the Leslie Gelb, the Jew from the Council on Foreign Jewlations, has written about in Foreign Affairs for a while, and what the Yinta, the fat Yinta who can't cook a good brisket, Albright, is saying is, we could use this conflict with all the different ethnic groups to start civil wars to undermine Russia. So you see, the smart people in the Ukraine are going to say, I'd rather have Vlad come in and stabilize the country and just make us part of the Russian Federation rather than to let. And I do agree with Kyle, this could be the Jewish alley-oop, okay? Anyway we go here, it seems like they control every side, okay? But at the same time, to be part of the Russian Federation would be worse than being embroiled in a civil war. And I said it on the roundtable Saturday, and I'll say it again. Ukrainians do not like Russians. And Russians don't get along with Ukrainians, but I'll tell you this. Ukrainians and Russians and Ukrainians both can agree on one thing. They hate Jews. Okay? That's it. And so, but here's what I want to break down real quick. This shows you the weak aspect of where the Jewry is, particularly in the West in this country. Think about this for a second. They're making no sense. I mean, I believe that we really have these rats on the run. I believe that these rats are getting nervous. You know, Kyle has a poll here on the Renegade Broadcasting that says, you know, the kosher conspiracy power structure, you can vote. Are they nervous? Are they scared? This kind of thing. Let me tell you something. I think they are really scared. I think they're legitimately scared. I really do think they are. Because ultimately, even if Putin, and I'm not a fan, I don't trust the guy, but I'll tell you this. Even if Putin has a kind of a kowtow to him for the short run, in the long run, the man wants power, and the man does not want to leave power. And he knows that in the long run, they are a detriment to his power consolidation. And that's why, in the end, most of international Jewry is afraid of Vlad, okay? Is afraid of Vlad. And that is a fact, okay? So here we see. I'd rather see order rather than fratricide. And at this point, it does appear that what started out as a real nationalist movement in the Ukraine has been hijacked. They're installing Russian, Jewish oligarchs to the most important mineral rich regions of the country. And they're being backed by John Kerry, the Irish Jew there. I mean, give me a fucking break. Barack Obama, okay? Madeleine Albright, okay? I mean, this is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. This is like a Frank Collin export to the Ukraine. And that's exactly what's going on. What's happening in the Ukraine is like if we sent Frank Cohen to start a fake uprising. Not to really put them in power, but to destabilize the region so we could get control of the gas and oil resources and take control of strategic locations, the breadbasket. All right? But who's taking over? The Jews. Either way you go, there's several different ways to look at this. But let me just break down real quick how silly our Jew media looks. Okay? Let's just break down how silly the Jew media looks today, because this is the story coming out from our Jew media, okay? Bolshevik Barry is opposed to hate crimes, wants to quit hate speech in this country, but is sending $1 billion to a national socialist regime that has just kicked out a legally elected government in the Ukraine. John Kerry, another Jew, is now going over there and, you know, crying in front of the place where people have died. A Jew pretending to be an Irishman is crying to the shrine where Ukrainians have died. This is absolutely insane. And now, okay, they're saying that Putin has broke international law because he's invading a country on false terms, on lies, kind of like Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, Yugoslavia, Grenada, Panama, okay? So this is the position of our Jew media. Our Jew media is now saying, we want to support bagel Nazis. Folks, if the Jew media and the administration is now willing to spend Federal Reserve notes on bagel Nazis globally, that means that we are getting closer every single day to a real victory and a real challenge. And they are trying to subvert and hijack what is actually taking place. They can no longer deny the fact that nationalism is rising all through Europe, that nationalism is rising here, that people are waking up and we have had enough. And now their best excuse is that we are going to fund bagel Nazis who want to install Jewish oligarchs in the region, and we're going to backtrack. You got these neocons now on Fox News who are criticizing Israel. You got Jews now. You got Michael Savage, all right? I listened to his show today for research for this show. You got Michael Savage on the side of Vladimir Putin, against the side of Bolshevik Barry. All right? This is important. Okay? This is important because we are being played on so many different levels. But I think in the end, what they are scared of is that they know that regardless of what Putin is playing now, in the end, these rats know that a Putin regime taking over would be a detriment to their power. And I believe that 100%. Okay? 100%. And so now they're scrambling. And what are they doing? We got Bolshevik Barry. Did you see the picture of him in the jeans in the White House trying to act tough? Folks, he looked like a gay model for JCPenney magazine. Have you seen this? Oh, boy. And then they released a picture of him riding a bike with a helmet on. Folks, when I used to skateboard and do BMX bike riding in the 80s when I was a kid, before I got fat and out of shape and drink too much beer, let me tell you something. Those who wore helmets and shit when they rode BMX bikes or skateboarded, we called them pussies. They would get beat up if they came up with a helmet to a skateboard park. Fucking. And now this country is a joke. This country is nothing but faggotry, dishonorable weirdos, and scallywags. All right, that's the bottom line. Putin, they are calling. Yeah, that's Silver Destroyer in the chat. They are calling Putin the new Hitler. Yes, but think about this. This just shows you how desperate the Jew propaganda machine is and how desperate the Jew propaganda machine is losing. The fact that they are calling Putin the new Hitler, as Putin is saying he is defending Europe from a new Hitler menace that is totally 100% financed since December, since John McCain, by our Jewish State Department, Jennifer Noland, and Gelb at the Council on Foreign Relations, and June Kerry. Right? Okay? So, you know, the Jew media is in a corner. Okay, I'll take the extra 30 minutes. The Jew media is in a corner. The Jew media is saying, and they've been saying this, that Hitler was that Putin was the new Hitler now for years. And now all of a sudden, this dumbass administration that I don't think has a clue what they're doing is now financing you know, a nationalist movement trying to get Jewish oligarchs back in power, okay? On the backs of this is how bold. Talk about chutzpah, okay? Yeah, Jennifer Newland, yeah. Noodle man, a return tire, yeah. There's no, I mean, this is how ridiculous this whole operation is. I believe you are witnessing right now, and I'm going to say this, And I'm really happy about this. Regardless of what happens, this is the beginning. I really do believe this is the beginning. This event right here is the beginning of the end of the Jewish propaganda machine and the Jewish power in the entire European area and in here, over here in the West. 100%, I believe this, 100%. Because here's what's going to happen. Okay? I can tell you this. What's going to happen is, the Ukrainian people are not stupid. They recognize now that this is a false regime that has taken power via coup. And they know now that they're putting Jews in as governors, Jewish oligarchs in as governors. And now you've already started to see it. Let me tell you right now, most of the Ukrainian people will now opt out, go over to Vlad's side, okay, and leave this Council on Foreign Relations, Jewish finance, bagel Nazi coup hanging in the wind, and these Jews will be leaving that country. John Kerry will be leaving with only his dick in his hand by the end of the day. And the Jewish media now has put itself in a box. Abe Foxman and the ADL can no longer say that we are racist and we are Nazis because they support Nazis. Now they have no ground to stand on. They have totally screwed up. They have gotten sloppy. We've always said on networks like this, they would strangle themselves and kill themselves through their own arrogance, through their own words. And we are witnessing that happen right now. They are collapsing, and they are scurrying like rats they are to try to find a talking point to stand on. It is a joke. It is a joke. And in the end, this is the beginning of their end. Trust me, it really is. Because now they put themselves in a situation, folks, how can they even win? They couldn't win really in Iraq. They can't win in Afghanistan. More people have died in the last year in Afghanistan than in the years before, but it's not being reported by the Jew media. Okay? They couldn't beat Assad in Syria. They got their asses handed to them in Lebanon. And for the first time in the Israeli war with Lebanon, there were actually rockets that were able to land in military zones, which never had been able to be done in any of the prior conflicts, which means that they are losing ground. Then at the same time, okay, we see movements on the rise in Greece, the Golden Dawn. We see the identitarian movement in France. We see other serious movements taking place throughout England, throughout the Scandinavian countries. Okay? But the people of Ukraine are not stupid. They're going to realize here who, I mean, if you were in the streets and your neighborhood was laid in ruin, okay, and you had a choice between Vlad and Obongo, it's not going to be very hard. It's not going to be very hard, okay? The Jews are cornered and uncomfortable, and I totally agree with that. They don't know what to do now. They don't know what to do. They're so desperate that they were willing to bribe and pay off a national socialist nationalist movement in the Ukraine so they could try to hide in the shadows the fact that they were installing Jewish oligarchs to governorships in the most rich regions of the country. Talk about chutzpah. Talk about chutzpah. That is some fucking kind of chutzpah, isn't it? Here is these oligarchs. This is hilarious. I mean, again, let's go back to these names. And maybe someone could point these pictures of these two clowns. One looks like a overweight Spielberg. And the other one looks like he's got his nose just beat in by a baseball bat. So fucking big. You got Igor Kolomoisky. Give me a fucking break. And Serhiy Taruta. These guys are about as Ukrainian as Benjamin Netanyahu saying that he's pure Aryan. Okay? I mean, this is about how ridiculous these guys are. Let me repeat. These are the people that John McShane brought to power by bribing and paying off the nationalist movement there. No doubt about it. I believe these people were bought off and said, okay, I know how Jews think. I know how they operate. They went in there and said, I can hear John McCain now in the meeting.
Okay, suckers, here's how it's going to work, okay? You guys know you can't win without no support because you know you got the Russia up there we really don't like. We're afraid of them, sucker. So what are we going to do? Here's what we're going to do. We'll give you money. We'll let you sit in power, have some auspicious power. Hell, it's better than running around the streets with swastika uniforms, banging up police cars. We'll let you sit in the freaking Capitol in Kiev and shoot behind a big desk in a knife office with some hookers. Hell, eating caviar and shit. And at the same time, we'll secretly, behind the scenes, try to funnel in these two kite Jews that I love so much. This Igor Kolomoisky and this Serhiy Taruta. And one controls the bank, the other one controls all the industrial sites. We'll try to smuggle them in, and at the same time, it'll look like you have an appearance of being a real nationalist movement. This is exactly what we're going to do. Shit.
Okay? Now, you know. I mean, oh, man. Yes. It is funny, man. It is funny. This guy, yeah, that's Igor there that Return of Tyrus posted there in the chat. I mean, that's Igor. He looks, boy, look at that. Look at that guy. He looks like he should be at Hollywood filming the next Britney Spears video, this guy. Here's your Nazi, folks. Here's your Nazi. This guy is great. Oh, my God. It really is funny. So, yeah. And by the way, just to make you sick, Siegfried told me not too long ago that Germany just awarded Netanyahu and some members of his cabinet with a Freedom Award or some shit in Germany. So if that doesn't make you want to puke, I mean, it's just, you know, it's unbelievable. So here we see.
Sean Hannity here. The brave one.
You know what's funny? You know the funniest part of this whole Ukrainian crisis? The funniest part of this whole Ukrainian crisis is the fact that Sean Hannity and these neocons like Hush Matzoball, they don't know which way to go. The neocons don't know which way to go because for years, for years they've said that Putin was the next Hitler, right? And that, you know, they hated the administration. But now they're saying, well, Putin is an evil man, but we need to support the freedom fighters. And I said it at one of my other shows, George Carlin, if they call themselves freedom fighters, what are they fighting against? Freedom. Words do have meaning, okay? So, but here we see these, I listen to Sean Hannity, he's like, well, Putin is a very dangerous man, and we can't have Putin anything there, and, but Barack Obama's the teleprompter leader, he's weak, it's a weak administration, but at the same time, he's got to get tough with Putin. He's got to get tough with Putin, he's a failed president, a teleprompter reader, Bolshevik Barry, but he's got to get tough with Putin. So, for the first time, you see what they're doing? These Jew neocon radio show hosts are totally isolated now. This is the end of them. I think by the end of this conflict, Hush Matzoball and Sean Hannity will have to retire because they don't know where to go. I heard Bill O'Reilly, Shill O'Reilly, the leprechaun Jew up there on he's not Jewish, but he might as well be, was up there on Fox News, Fuck News, last night. I'm watching him doing the coverage. He's like talking points memo. We must stand behind the president here. The president must get tough. He actually called Bolshevik Barry a patriot a couple weeks ago, and he's bashing Putin. These Jews have put themselves in a predicament. They don't know where to go. And guess what? All of us that have been reporting on the Jewish tribe, reporting on the Jewish power structure, predicted this years ago. Eventually, they would run out of fruit stands and banana stands to topple over to inflate a false economy in this country that is totally based upon the military-industrial complex. Without war, the Jew economic system crumbles to the ground. And the reason why it's been crumbling for the last couple years hardcore is because there hasn't been a new boogeyman. The war on terror has run dry. Time for a new war. But the only problem is, tribe, is that this time you have been outed. You have been ratted out, literally. You tried to secretly finance a nationalist movement that was a real nationalist movement in the Ukraine, and you have been caught in the Hasbarat trap. And now we know that you bought off these real nationalists and now are trying to insert Jewish oligarchs to take over the country, okay? And you were hoping to backtrack and make us all believe that you would be on the side, or this administration would be on the side of a nationalist uprising, and that we would support it. You thought you could pull it off, but it looks like you have failed. And this is important to understand. This was the same trick that Barack Obama tried to play on the Israel situation. Remember when he tried to convince everybody in the 2012 election that he was really anti-Israel, anti-Jew? Right? Do you remember this? Where he went to France and talked to that Sarkozy Jew, the crypto Jew posing as a Frenchman at the time. He went to France and tried to say, and you know, oh, I forgot the microphone was on. And he criticized Netanyahu and criticized Israel. And then he got these fake Sean Hannitys and Hush Matzoballs to come out and then criticize Barack Obama for being an anti-Semite. You remember this? An anti-Israel. And then he shows up at the AIPAC and they all kiss his ass. Yeah. He's a Muslim. Yeah. Again, great comment in the chat room. He's a Muslim Jew hater. Yeah. I mean, which is it? First, they told us he was a radical Muslim, then he's a Jew hater. Then, I mean, it's fucking hilarious, folks. All right? Now, to return to the chat, I still think the figures in Ukraine could have taken the money, but are still planning to throw the Jews under the bus. Well, it's going to be hard to throw the Jews under the bus when you reinstate the central bank Jew figure back in power who controlled the money supply. And then you got the other guy that is controlling most of the industrial base. and that's saying if they do succeed. I mean, you know, it's funny. But I think that might be what they're thinking. That might be what they're thinking. Although I don't think they're going to be able to pull it off. I think it's bigger. There's no way that Ukraine is going to – I mean, even if they are planning on throwing the Jews under the bus, there's no way that the United States, the Jew United States, is going to go over there and back up. I mean, unless they're trying to play this Zbigniew Brzezinski grand chessboard. You know what I mean? Yes, Kyle, he's a secret Nazi. Yes. He's everything. And I think he was – and that's why he was the perfect Jewish president, because Barack Obama is like a – just he's a canvas, man. You can create – you can turn him into whatever you want to turn him into. He's just a canvas. He's the perfect Jewish president. Obungo is the perfect Jewish president. He's white one day, black the next, African the next, Jewish one day, Muslim the next day. He's Hitler one day. He's perfect. He's a Nazi. He's a Muslim. He's a Jew. He's a Hitler, but he's not Hitler. Now he's fighting for freedom. He's everything. I love this guy. Obama's great. Think about it. Hey guys, I can just hear the secret Jewish meeting that put Obongo in power out of Chicago. Hey guys, I got a great idea. This guy's incredible. He's a fucking, he'll be a Muslim one day. He'll be a Jew the next day. You know. He's everything. You know. He's all, yeah, never pro-white. I agree with that, Silver Destroyer. Absolutely never a white. Never. As a matter of fact, I want to bring up this story. And then I want to get into infiltration. I'll probably spend most of the infiltration stuff for the next show. Because I think, I've kind of gone through some infiltration here, and I think I'm not going to mention any specifics, but I am going to preempt any smart-ass moves that people think they might have. But I'll tell you this. If you saw the news today, there was this report now that Obama – you remember the black supremacist that Obungo had in the Homeland Security that was collecting the ammunition that called for a race war? You all remember that? Now he's appointing to the DOJ a new guy, the lawyer that defended Abu Jamal that killed the cop. Okay, now he's appointing the lawyer that defended this Abu Jamal guy, this other piece of trash in there, and putting him in his administration in the DOJ now. This is the story today. Maybe somebody can find that story and post it in the chat room. So I want to make a call out now to all law enforcement. Because I think it's important. See, I am not Alex Jones. I don't agree with Alex Jones. I think Alex Jones works for the enemy and tries has tried to create a civil war in many ways in this country. Has tried to turn us against law enforcement. When at the same time, let me just put it this way. White law enforcement that are listening, whether you be police, FBI, intelligence, whatever. I don't care what you are. You have to take a look at what's going on in this Bolshevik Jew-run administration out of Chicago and ask yourself, you put a black supremacist in charge of Homeland Security that called for a race war to kill all the whites, who was involved in the ammunition collection, all right? And now, okay, now you have a new guy they're trying to appoint, the lawyer for Abu Jamal, I believe, the cop killer who killed this cop. And that guy was guilty as hell, okay? And I saw his wife, the cop's wife, Faulkner, his wife on television today, you know, talking about it. This was pretty much, from all that I've read, an honest cop, and he was doing his duty, and this guy was a black street thug, who deserved to be fucking, you know, gotten rid of. Okay? I am not in the mood. I want to see an alliance of all pro-whites in every position that they're in, whether it's in law enforcement, whether it's in legalism, whether it's in politics, whether it's in small business. I want to see a unity, a united front. Yeah, black street thug. I know it's redundancy. But I want to see a united front. And it's time that we stand up. And it's time that we start helping one another from our community against this system that seeks the white genocide. Because that is what it seeks. And there's no way you can argue against it. And that's why we need to have a united front for the white man march. And that's why I will not attack anybody from our side until after the 15th. We'll not do it. And I might not do it after that. I'm tired of it. It doesn't matter. Watch the dangers of diversity video that Kyle has put up there on the Renegade videos. It is incredible. Absolutely incredible. We have to be united to win, and I believe we will be united. And I believe that the 15th, we're going to see a great day, a great day. And I'm looking forward to it. 9 days, 23 hours and 55 minutes and some seconds left. And it is clear that they didn't want this to be a success. And it is clear that there were many personalities that have come in who were sending mixed messages and trolling and trying to backstab and destroy this whole thing. And it just can't be allowed to happen. Now, getting into war room strategy. War room strategy. You know, we are going to be stronger now than ever going into the last phase of the days leading up to the White Men March. Because you know what? One of the reasons why I wanted to have the debate early on was because they were going to ignite this debate. These trolls are going to ignite this debate anyway. It's better to clear, have the debate, to have a fight, than to unite and then have a strong pro-white push of total unity all the way. You could say that I believe in playing their psychology game against them. And over the years, I've kind of been able to spot bullshit. Okay? Now, let me get into infiltration here. This Snowden link that Kyle posted, I think, is very important. Because, look, I'm not saying that Snowden couldn't be kind of a WikiLeaks operation. I mean, yeah, but this right here was definitely true. Because when you read what he posted about it, it is totally true and it makes sense. Moving on now to the infiltration. Infiltration. This is the most effective weapon, particularly when it's mostly a male-run operation. Okay, when you have mostly men in the political realm or in the activist realm running operations, it is easily infiltrated by women. And this is something that everybody must pay attention to, all right? They will come in. They will try to infiltrate you, you know, and we can go back in history. I mean, look at all the spies that were used to infiltrate through the bedroom. And this type of thing. This is a very important thing. Now, I want to say this. When infiltration occurs, and if you think you are being infiltrated or you are being set up, okay, what you should do is do not break that relationship immediately with the individual, whoever it may be, okay, or that conversation immediately. Keep conversing to collect more information. Just do not tell the truth, okay? Feed the person bullshit, okay? But stay in conversation until a mistake is made. They will eventually reveal themselves and who they are over time, okay? Over time, they will. So this is important. Exactly. Keep your enemies closer. Absolutely, okay? Also, when they come in, you have to recognize their number one tactic, as Tom did last night in his broadcast. I thought Tom's broadcast last night was absolutely brilliant. Okay, absolutely brilliant. When he talked about, you know, the wedge issues, right? They always like to play the wedge issues, okay? And the wedge issues are when they create two extremes and they try to come in the center, you know, and moderate. And he mentioned several issues, gun control, this type of thing, that type of thing, abortion, all these different issues, okay? They always try to come in as peacemakers, as peace brokers, right? They always try to come in as peace brokers and peacemakers. Great quote by Jimmy Marr. Well, that can apply both ways. That's a joke. But yeah, Jimmy Marr there. And but you see, and this is kind of like what they're doing in the Ukraine, right? What they're trying to do in the Ukraine. There you have these neocons now who are trying to set themselves up as the wedge brokers, as the wedge people for the next election, for the next presidential erection, Jewish erection coming out. You know, and so what happens is we see now when you listen to Hush Matzoball and Hannity, and then I heard Mitt Romney today, which was pretty interesting. Mitt Romney said, you know, we need to, you know, he's basically triangulating against both Obama and Putin. And we see this triangulation now taking place from the neocon. That's because we now have two positions in play, and they're triangulating for the next election into the middle centrist ground. They're going to say Obama's a total failure, Vladimir Putin's totally insane, and we are the rational people that need to take control of foreign policy once again. And that'll be your people controlled by Richard Perle, Wormser, Feith, Rumsfeld. Okay? All of the Jewish neocons. That'll be those people. So there is a wedge being created here, too, in international affairs that needs to be addressed and observed and monitored. And that is the purpose of why they are taking the positions they are taking on neocon talk radio shows. Because they're playing the third position, okay? They're playing the third position. So all of this is very important to understand because it all connects. Remember, our Jewish enemy benefits from chaos and crisis. Rahm Emanuel, never let a good crisis go to waste, right? Never let a good crisis go to waste, okay? The more crises they have, the more opportunity they have to control, hijack, and completely operate a movement. And this is what they've attempted to do to our side lately, but it's not going to work because we will stand united as one people no matter what. And we are going to march on to March 15th, and we will march toward victory from there. We will not be fooled by any of your tricks, by any of your trolls. I suggest when you get ridiculous private messages, when you get ridiculous Skype calls, I suggest from now on until the 15th, you isolate yourself. Only speak to people that you know are legit. And stay away from propaganda and fear-mongering and false information being passed around. They will do anything to destabilize our side. And we need total unity, and we will have total unity. I really do believe that. So you can try, but I think you've already failed. Now here we are. Yeah, exactly, Kyle. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. All of those different sites, 4chan are trying to discredit me, the White Man Mars, but through attacking. Right, exactly. Exactly. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because all of that, you have to understand that we're going to see, and let me tell you something, Kyle knows what I'm talking about. We've seen a barrage of disinformation and strange people warming their way in to try to undermine things. And a lot of the reasons why I raised questions was because, you know, I was reading information that I believe now were coming from bad sources. Okay, I do believe they were. But at the same time, those arguments are going to be raised anyway, and they had to be raised, but they're done with. It's over with. We've already had the debate. Now we're stronger for having a debate. We're going to move forward. It doesn't matter. Okay? Anybody at this point that tries to, at this point, until the day of the march, who tries to disrupt the march, you have to ask yourself, is either an idiot who doesn't know what they're involved in, or they know exactly what they're doing. And either way, they benefit our enemy. Either way, they benefit the system that seeks to destroy the message, that seeks to divide us, to keep the infighting going on, so we will not be successful. And that's just the bottom line. And that is some of the stuff that I wanted to post, that I wanted to say, rather, on the Unity Show on Saturday. Because enough is enough, and I will not do it, attack anybody else on our side. I will not do it. It's time to move forward. We need, if we can just have one good day where we can be in solidarity to really stick it to this anti-white system, I think it'll be amazing, and I think it'll be huge, and I think it's going to be. I will tell you that. I think it's going to be. So, there we go. So, here we are, folks. I believe these are exciting times that we have now. Very exciting times. I believe that the Jew rats are cornered on the Ukraine fumble. I think they tried to hijack a real nationalist movement to get oligarchs back in. That has been exposed. Now the Ukrainian people are going to wake up to that fact. Okay, it'll either... either way, whether it's a Russian consolidation back into a federation or whether it's another coup over these jackasses you got in there now and the installation of a legitimate Ukrainian nationalist movement, either way, they've been exposed. I think they're cornered. There is no doubt that Gelb and these people, Nuland, and all of these Jews from the State Department and the Obama administration do not have a meme or a talking point that makes any sense. They're in total disarray now because they failed. But the big thing I would say to all those listening tonight is, and I want to make this clear, we had the Frank Cohen operation in Skokie, which was a Jew-funded operation so it could actually bring interest to the Holocaust, to bring the Holocaust as the main Jewish meme for Jewish power grabbing in this country. And now we see a similar thing, in my opinion, being perpetuated, propagated, and I think they have been found out. And believe me, the Ukrainian people don't like it when Jewish oligarchs try to take over. And that's one of the reasons why they had this rebellion in the first place. But you see, John McCain, the Jewish Council on Foreign Relations, all of these Jews came in and hijacked it and bought off top-level officials in that movement. Have steered in their direction, but the good news is they have been outed. And let me say this. Yes, it was used several years ago, Time for Freedom. Great point. Absolutely was. This goes back to Foreign Affairs magazines, John Edwards, of course. You're absolutely right. But my warning to everybody else listening tonight, if they did it in the Ukraine, if they'll have bagel Nazis there, as Nick would say, then you know they got bagel Nazis here. And we always got to be on our toes, no matter what. All right. Let me take a musical break if Kyle can play something here. And I'll get back with a couple more things. I'm going to wrap this up by 8:30. And then the Jackpack comes on.
That's right. And, of course, you know what La Raza stands for.
The race.
And my issue is, I look at the Democratic Party and the demographics, and I've always been nonpartisan, but you can see they're going to get rid of the Republican Party right now. They are making it commit suicide. The Republicans are absolutely helping in this, and I don't want to have a total one-party system. We already almost have this with these committee chairmen, but when you look at La Raza and Mecha and their slogans, for those inside our group, everything, for those outside the group, nothing. And you look at how the Democrats were anti-civil rights, anti-Civil Rights Act, anti-voting rights, up until the Republicans beat them. And people like my grandfather ran for office in Texas and won, you know, as a Republican when nobody was a Republican in the state, you know, back in the 60s. And the Democrats went from being the Ku Klux Klan party of race with Senator Byrd and all them to literally going, okay, we're going to go race politic with the minorities, make them the majority. And so basically they went and started financing Mecha La Raza, all of the Ford Foundation, and that's why you have this new race-based system where we all have been conditioned as Republicans or as libertarians or as white people to be, oh, my gosh, we're loving, you know, we're not racist. Yes, please, you know, do whatever. I'm sorry, I'm white. Beat ourselves with whips on the head. And then meanwhile, the Democrats have just recreated the Ku Klux Klan movement, but they've done it with minorities.
Yeah, there's a lot of truth in that. I wish there weren't. I mean, there's no question that the country is more race conscious than it was when I was a kid. I thought we were moving away. I hate segregation.
Clarence Thomas said that and got demonized last week.
But it's just factually true. We went from my kids, I have four children, and they learn all about segregation. In fact, it's one of the few things I learned about in school and how horrible it was. And I agree with them completely. The idea that the federal government would take sides based on race is immoral and horrifying. And I always want to say them, but I never do because I don't want to upset them because they're too young. We do that now. The federal government takes sides and hands out spoils based on your skin color. It hasn't changed. In fact, it's become even more entrenched. What was once a tradition in the South and the law in southern states is now national under the rubric of diversity.
Been a long time since I talked about Jews.
It
It's been 5 minutes since I talked about Jews. It's been 5 minutes since I talked about Jews. Yeah, it's been 5 minutes since I talked about Jews. It's been a long time, since I talked about Jew. It's been a long time since I called out the kike now. It's been a long time since I called out them kikes now. It's been a long time since I called kikes. Kikes. Man, I love this echo. It kind of works good. It's been a long time since... It's been a long time since we invaded Sudeten land now. Yeah. It's been a long time since we caught out the Jews. Yeah. 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 It's been a long time, been a long, lonely time for white people with Jews. Jews. We're coming after you now. Yeah. It's been since 1933, but now we're coming back now. Back now. You're not going to stop us. You can't put us back now. We're coming around the corner, and it's going to be you now. Now. It's been a long time, been a long, lonely time controlled by Jews. All right. Okay. Back. Oh, these Jews are swine. Oh, these Jews are swine. Oh, these Jews are swine. All right. Guns and Kikes. That was the new one. All right. If I can get rid of this echo here. Echo here. Here. Oh, no, you might be hearing echo. Might be me. And that would make it really stupid the past 3 minutes. So, echo. Okay, it's gone. Thank God. Great. now we are back. And I would recommend everybody to going back to... Oh, I was only hearing it. Kyle says, yeah, only you were hearing it. I feel like a total retard now. But anyway, if you could have heard the echo, it would have made that even funnier. Anyway... we're back now. I would recommend everybody going back to listening to Andrew's show he did on Ukraine. Excellent show. And it kind of is a good background info to everything. But the bottom line is, again, I want to say this. What's taking place now is I believe the rats are finally cornered. And here's the scary part that the rats, that our good friends the Jews, don't want to talk about, okay? And that is this fact right here. That that here's what they don't understand what we want. We do want Imperium Europa. We do want a new system. That because, you know, look, the only way to fight against the international Jew is for us to be international Europeans, okay? You know, and this is where I think the most important thing needs to be said, is that the only way to completely corner these people and not allow them to come back in at the levels they did is to have an international alliance between white nations, between European countries, okay, outside of the United Nations. We have our own governmental international structure for our own nations, our own trade agreements for our own nations, that are trade agreements between our own people. Pan-Aryanism, absolutely is the future. It is the future. I know it is. And I think even our good friend Vlad over there knows that it is. Believe me, he didn't kick out those oligarchs for nothing when it comes down to it. And they know that he might be, and I've criticized the guy, but the bottom line is, in the long run, I don't think that guy wants Jews running his cabinet or running his entire country. No, he doesn't. Of course he doesn't. He's smarter than that. You know, in reality, and here's my quote. I heard some guy saying that on the media, I think it was Mike Rogers, who was the GOP head of the Intelligence Committee on C-SPAN I was watching. And he said, you know, this president is playing, you know, Putin's playing chess and Bolshevik Barry is playing marbles, right? You know, he's playing marbles, you know. And I would say this, and I'm going to go because it's time to switch over for Nick and the Jackpack. I would say this. We're playing Chinese checkers because they own most of our debt through the Jew usury system, and he's playing chess. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. Jackpack next. Goodbye, everybody.